Video 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we are live. We like to say good morning to our online community. We also like to say good morning to those that are here in the house. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be alive in this given moment and given time. Now, this morning we're going to speak about as a man thinketh, as a man thinketh. Father, bless your word, have your way. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to begin in the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel, chapter number 9, and beginning at verse number 1. And follow me closely, because you're going to have to follow me closely. And we're going to make sure that, you, if all possible, try to make sure you're not distracted, because that's one of the ploys of the enemy. He will like for us to get distracted so we can't hear what God has to say. All right? Now, in verse number 1, in chapter number 9, in the book of 2 Samuel, the Lord says this in verse number 1. It says, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, we want to break this verse down. It says, "And David said." Now, the word David there means love or beloved. He says, he's asked the question. He said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Now, we have to understand about this, the name Saul. Because naturally what we would do, we began to look at it on the physical rather than on the spiritual. So we're going to go high. We're going to go in the spiritual first. And then we may come back to some places in the physical. Now, when he talks about David, and the word David is representing love, he asks about if there was anybody in the house of Saul. Now, the meaning for the word Saul, the spiritual meaning for the word soul, is death to the spirit. You got to stay with me. Death to the spirit. It also means to be desired. And see, with the spirit of Saul, it wants to kill the spirit of David, which is love. When we think about our own lives, we have to remember that there is a spirit that's trying to kill the love that's within you. That spirit is the spirit of Saul. Amen? It's the spirit of Saul. Now, something we got to understand about the spirit of Saul. Now, the spirit of Saul did not just show up. It's been here. Because it has always been where the spirit of Saul has always tried to kill the love that's within us. And not only that, but the spirit of Saul was hanging around in the garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. That's the spirit of Saul was hanging around then. Remember now, the word, the Lord says that Saul represents death to the spirit. So Saul is an ancient spirit that's been around a long time. It didn't just show up. But if you fast forward, you'll see that same spirit in the book of Acts. And that's where Saul, coming back down to the physical, that's when the man Saul began to persecute the church. So that same spirit is still trying to kill out something. Are you with me? Can we grasp it? Amen. Amen. So now the spirit of love is wanting to show some kindness to Jonathan. Now, Jonathan means Jehovah's gift. Love is on a search this morning. And it's trying to make sure that spirit of Saul does not kill out the love. If anybody's love grown wax cold, have your love waxed cold? You got to know what spirit is operating when your love has waxed cold. That's that spirit of Saul that wants to kill out the love in you. in me. All right? Now, verse number 2 in 2 Samuel chapter number 9 says this. Verse number 2, it says, "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him." Now, we've got to look at this word Ziba. Now, that word Ziba is a representation of what once was. It's a representation of what once was. It's a symbol of a legacy. It's a symbol of that spirit of Saul, that which once was. All right? Now, as we continue, now he says this. He says now, he's looking at what that which once was. Love is looking. All right? Now, when you look at verse number 3, it says, "And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." Now, that word lame there doesn't mean lameness in the sense that we think. That word lame there means he had a spiritual deficiency. He was crippled in his spirit. Crippled in his spirit. He's lame, not a physical lameness, but he is crippled in his spiritual understanding. So many people are crippled in their spiritual understanding. And crippled. He's crippled. Think about the topic, "As a man thinketh." Remember now, when he speaks of his son, Jonathan's son, it says he's lame, he's crippled in his spiritual understanding. Well, let's look at how he ended up, or how we have ended up, of those that's out there viewing, have ended up being crippled in our spiritual understanding. Now, let's go to chapter 4 in the book of 2 Samuel, and we're going to unpack verse number 4 in 2 Samuel's chapter number 4. We have to understand now that there has been a battle. Saul is dead, and we're coming down. Saul is dead. Now also Jonathan is dead. But something happens when they hear the news. Now, in verse number 4, in 2 Samuel chapter number 4, this is what it says now, verse number 4. It says, And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He's crippled in his spiritual understanding. Watch the word. "He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." Now, they hear the noise. They hear about what has happened to Saul and Jonathan. And the nurse, in her haste to get Mephibosheth away, she drops him. See, he wasn't always lame. He wasn't always crippled. He was not always had a spiritual understanding, a deficiency there. But what happened was that his nurse represents your support system. Have anybody ever been dropped by your support system? Those that you thought was going to be there for you? Holy Ghost on track. The nurse, the support system dropped you. And you became lame in your spiritual understanding. See, what you have to understand, even before David was called to be king, rights belonged to Mephibosheth, which was the next one in line to be king. He was next in line to be king. We have not a clue how much and who we are. We have not a clue who we are. But the Lord is going to inform us today exactly who we are. Because, see, many of us have been dropped. We've been named by the world. My name is Brenda, but who? Somebody might call me Sally Sue. My name might be Clara. But somebody might say, your name is Pee Wee. So in other words, you become whatever the world says that you are. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. What garment, thank you, Holy Spirit, what garment are you wearing today? What mindset do you have today? Do we have the mindset of God, or do we have the mindset of the world? As a man thinketh. Now, we're not just talking about gender. Now, for y'all ladies who might say, no. God don't see no gender. All is the same in the sight of God. But he is crippled in his spiritual understanding, and he had been dropped by his support system. Some interesting things here in this text. His name, Mephibosheth, means dispeller of shame. But that's not his real name. His real name, you'll find out in the book of Chronicles, is Meribaal, which means a contender of the Lord. But here he is dispelling shame, all because he has been dropped by his support system. Help us, Lord. And whenever we are dropped by those that we love, those that we care about, or those that say they will be there, somehow or another we kind of forget who we are or who God says we are. We forget that. We seem to forget. Now, going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Going back now. Now, watch the word. Watch the word. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 4. Remember now, he's crippled in his spiritual understanding. Verse 4 says, "And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodabar." Now, let's unpack verse number 4. Let's unpack this. Now, when they say where he is, he's in a place that's called Machir. Now, that word there in the Hebrew, it means salesman. It means sold. It also means slavery. It also means to be sold as merchandise. Anybody been sold as merchandise before? You can be bought for anything, fall for anything. So here he is now. He's in a place of bondage. He's the king's son. He's next in line for the kingship. But he is in bondage. He's in bondage. And then it also says there that he's the son. That means he is a builder. He's a builder of what? Ammiel. Now, the word Eliel in the Hebrew means the people of God. See, he has a slave mentality, but his role was to be a builder of the people of God. You have to be careful how you, Holy Spirit, I hear you. You got to be careful how you allow folk to handle you. You got to be careful, because people will handle you and will make merchandise out of you. It speaks about it in the book of Peter. They will make merchandise out of you. What's your price? What can you be bought for? How much? How much are you willing to take to sell out? As a man thinketh. Some good stuff here. As a man thinketh. Now, you see where he is, and you see what his role supposed to be. His role is to be a builder of the people of God. But he has a slave mentality. I hear you, Holy Spirit. How many of us are really, truly operating in our gift, God-given gift? Remember, Jonathan means Jehovah's gift. How many of us are operating in the gifts that God has placed on the inside of us? Or have we sold out and given our gift over to the world? And the, Holy Spirit, the world will pimp your gift and make merchandise out of you. We've been there, haven't we? I can raise my hand. Come on, y'all. Oh, come on. Holier than thou? The world will do that. The world will pimp you. I'll show you how the world will put you in bondage, in slavery, then throw you away. He's down now in a place called Lodabar. He's in a place called Lodabar. The word Lodabar there in the Hebrew means no word, no communication. So in other words, what the world had done for him is the world had cut him off. So he couldn't get a word. He couldn't communicate. See, God wants to communicate with his people. But the world has put us in a place called Lodabar. No communication, no word. See, if you don't get no word, you're going to dry up, baby. You got to have the word of God. Because, see, in these last days, the devil don't care nothing about how well you sing, how much you shout, how much you leap over the wall. No, but he is afraid of the God that's representative of the word. That's why you got that. You can't defeat the devil with what we think. You got to put God's word on him. And then you got to stand. You got to believe without a shadow of a doubt. God said it, and that settles it. Satan, I almost said something. Satan, get behind me. But that was another word before that. I'm just being nice. As a man thinketh. Now watch this, watch this. Watch this. Watch the word. Watch the word. He's in a place of no communication. Got no word. Not getting no word. Somebody said, well, you know, I can tell this lie we tell ourselves. You know, I can sit at home and I can watch it on TV. That's the lie we done told ourselves. That's the lie we have told ourselves. See, the enemy is so crafty and cunning. He'll make us think that so we won't get no. He know we ain't going to study no Bible at the house. Come on. I've been there, done, and got a trophy and t-shirt. And you have too. I studied it. Do you really? Honest. I think that's a word they say. Honesty. We got to learn to be honest with ourselves. But watch how the enemy will deceive us. In verse number 6 in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 6 says, now when Mephibosheth means to spell or shame, he's the son, the builder of Jonathan, he's builder of the gift, he's the son of Saul. He's got a dual role there. Saul means death to the spirit. See, you can either kill your spirit or you can kill love, David, that's within you because, see, God is love. You're going to kill one of the, oh, Holy Spirit, I thank you for that. You're going to kill one or the other. You're going to either kill the spirit of God in you, which is love, or you're going to allow Saul, that spirit that kills and destroys, to be in operation. Because that spirit is still here. Still here. Now, he says now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, comes to love, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. God is giving people invitations every day to come over on the right side, on God's side. But then verse number 7 says this, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul. Death to the spirit. Okay. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continuously. So what he's saying now, when we listen to love, see, first thing God has to do for us is he has to silence the spirit of fear in us. Because, see, a lot of us don't think we can make it on the other side. I'm talking about the side of Christ Jesus. We don't think we can do that. We don't think we can walk this Christian walk. Listen, you can't do it by yourself. That's why you need God. And then look at the promise he says now. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, I am going to restore all that spirit of Saul that killed your spirit. He said, I'm going to restore all of that. I'm going to give it all back to you. Because, see, the spirit of Saul brings death to your spirit. He said, now, not only am I going to restore it to you, he says, but I'm going to let you sit at my table continuously. Mind you now, he's lame in his spiritual understanding, but God says, come sit at my table. How many people, if they know you got a situation going on, will allow you to come sit at their table continuously and die? See, that's why you can't trust man, but you can trust God. Even in our crippled, in our spiritual understanding, because we most time we don't know who we are. Because we've been influenced by the world and they tell us something else. Watch the word. Now he gets an invitation, right? He gets a promise, restoration. And then he says, even though your condition don't even look good, you can still sit at my table. Not a temporarily sitting, Not because you do right today and you do wrong tomorrow. Not because you do right every day. No, he said, I'm going to let you sit at my table continuously in the your condition. But watch the mind. Watch the mind here. Watch the mind. Verse 8. Because you got to understand now, when you're in your spiritual crippling of your understanding, that you will find yourself in a place of desolation, a place of isolation, and a place of separation. That's what the world does. The world wants to isolate you so it can kill you. It wants to put you in a place of desolation to make you think you're nobody, you'll never amount. Anybody ever been told that? You're nobody, you'll never amount to anything. But whose report are we going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord, and God does not say that. But look how he responds in verse number 8, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Look how Mephibosheth, he responds. He's a, remember now, he's a dispel or shame. He's, in essence, he's embarrassed. Now, he says this in verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shalt look upon such a dead dog? You see how the perception that he sees of himself? He sees himself as a dead dog. A dead dog is worthless. What can you do with a dead dog? So put some dirt on him, right? But that was the perception that he had. That was the perception that the enemy had given him, that he was of no value to anybody. Even though God told him, said, listen, I'm going to restore all this, and you can sit at my table in your crippled condition. But his response was, even though he bowed, meaning he humbled himself, but his mindset had not changed. He saw himself as a dead dog. Anybody had any thoughts like that lately? I'm just worthless. I have no value. I don't know what I'm going to do. But that's not what God says. God says this. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 23. Want to do the A clause of Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 7. You remember we said in the beginning that the title of this message was As a Man Thinketh, and we're not talking about gender. God don't see gender. But he says, as a man thinketh, what he says. And now, Proverbs chapter number 23, the A clause says in verse number 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the question is, what do you think about yourself? If you believe you are nobody, then you will be a nobody. Because your words have power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how you think about yourself today? How do you look at yourself today? How, in the Bible tells us it's not good for us to compare ourselves with others. Paraphrasing it. It doesn't matter where you drive a BMW, a Cadillac, a Volkswagen. That don't matter to God. Because when it comes down to the judgment day, God's not going to ask you how much stuff that you have or what did you acquire while you were here on this earth. That's not what he's going to ask you. He's not interested in all of that. Do we not know things don't make us? Things does not make us. But let the world tell it. We don't measure up. And listen, we, thank you, Holy Spirit, fully in debt. That's how they measure you. But that's not how God sees us. So how are we thinking? What is our thinking today? My friends have this, my friend, but do they have God? I almost said some again. That's why I had to keep hitting myself. It does not matter what somebody else has. If they don't have God, they don't have nothing. The only thing is going to be standing. God says everything else is going to be moving, but God's word will stand forever. His word. And his word is who he is. And he's going to stay. Whose side would you rather be on? Well, I'm friends with Johnny. Excuse me, I don't care who Johnny Sue is. If he don't have God, and I got God, greater is the God that's in you than that person that's operating in the world. Know what's in you. Know the God that's in you. And if we have fallen away from him, or if we have never met him, or if we have backslidden, he's given us an invitation. He said, come sit at my table. Come sit at my table, he says. Come sit at my table. And some people feel like, I've done this and I've done that. I've done this and I've... God don't care about that. He wants you to come and sit at his table. And one thing about God, he will not put you out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, we're almost done. We're almost done. Let's go back to 2 Samuel. See, he sees himself. He's a contender of the Lord, but he sees himself as a dead dog. Has no value. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then looking at verse number 9, he says, then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, have given unto thy master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all his house. And verse number 10 says, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy masters may have food to eat always at the table. How many know God will feed you? Spiritually as well as physically. Dropping down to verse number 13 in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Verse 13 says, Mephibosheth, the dispeller of shame. He lives in Jerusalem, which means peace. And then it says, for he did eat continuously at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. He sat at the king's table and he still had that deficiency. See, when you're sitting at the king's table, nobody can see your deficiency, only God. And God will work with that. Last verse. Revelations chapter number one. Last verse. Revelations chapter number one. This is who the Lord has made us to be. This is who the Lord has made us to be. It's already a done deal. Revelations chapter number one, verse number six says, "And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and forever." And then he seals it with a amen. God says, you are kings and priests, not dead dogs. But we've got to have a renewed mind. We have to change the way that we think. As a man thinketh, so